Right, is everyone happy?
Yes.
I mean, with the pod, not just in life.
I mean, it's a weeknight, Tottenham above Arsenal.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy.
Why didn't weeknight become first? Welcome to episode 28 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm your host, Tom. We've got Dan Kilpatrick. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. Did you finish with your phone?
I finished my phone.
This is all very unprofessional.
Just checking Twitter, mate.
This is ragtag start.
Stuff's kicking off.
No worries. We've also got a return. The very quick return of Rich Arrowsmith.
Cheers.
2 weeks ago, you were sitting in this very room.
Yes.
What game were we even talking about?
I couldn't tell you. I want to say it was after the Leicester FA Cup, but I'm really not sure.
Yeah. Or the win or the loss? The draw.
I think it's a win.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you.
That's terrible, isn't it? It's only 2 weeks ago. Terrible. So, Rich, welcome back, mate. Thank you very much for coming down. We've also got the return of Alex Brown. Alex, how's it going, mate?
Pretty good. Top of Arsenal. These are all reasons to be happy.
It's a weeknight.
Famously a weeknight. You can't deny your, you know, you're on it tonight.
They're just two facts that I'm presenting you with.
You know what day it is, Alex. You came on before the Newcastle loss, by the way, so I'm hoping that it's no omen. It would be awful.
Don't set me up.
If it happens, then you're never coming on the pod again. You agreed?
No, I'm happy with that. That's fine.
That could be really bad for my career.
Could be, but then there's no careers here. thanks for coming down again, Alex. Right, before, we've done no preparation for this whatsoever. This has been really bad. It's, for a start, we didn't do a pod on Monday because obviously transfer deadline day was happening Monday. We didn't want to be recording just in case anything happened, as it always does with Spurs. So the BBC will tell you. And we obviously didn't want to do it Tuesday night because we had the Norwich game. So it's a Wednesday night record, so slightly shorter shelf life and all that. But we didn't even get to do a running order. We did it in the pub before we started. Sorry, just to go behind the curtain of the Tottenham Way podcast.
And I've just written down names of people that played against.
Yeah, there's nothing far.
Just says Wimmer, Walker, Ali goal versus Vardy goal.
Yeah.
So it's a good running order.
Basically, we've just done a quick ident of what's coming up. So
it's not our problem. You're the host, so you're the one who's got to.
That's true.
Keep it flowing.
That's true. All right, let's dive in. Let's dive into Norwich. Played them Tuesday night, 3-0 win. About as commanding a performance as I can remember from us. Certainly under Pochettino. I don't know about you. There's probably some others that are dotted around, but I think front to back, that was the most dominant and competent performance that I've seen us. It was kind of a never in doubt. We scored after what?
Two minutes.
And the first thing that we've got on the running order is Harry Kane, a genuinely world-class performance. Rich, did you watch the game?
I've seen extended highlights.
Extended highlights, yes. Nice. Yeah. Okay. So you obviously would have seen Kane score his penalty and his goal, but his all-round game last night was terrific. Like, he hit the post twice. One with his left foot, one with his right.
Yeah, in the first half, second half.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been game over, I think, by like even half an hour. And I was going to say
it was all over.
Yeah, that's fair.
We just looked a class above, to be honest. Norwich. But I think they had quite a few new guys in from what I saw on the team sheet, or at least names I hadn't recognised before. I had a new guy at right back who had a horrible time.
Definitely had a new centre half.
No, yeah. The right back. The right back played against Liverpool, and he looked just as shaky in that game as he did against us. But it was Rose up against him, obviously, quite a lot. And I think he had like a bit of a knock, and he just didn't seem up for it.
He had the freedom of the city on the left wing. Yeah. He was, but not to take anything away from the whole team, the whole team was superb. It looked like a top four team against a relegation potential team. It was pretty easy.
Yeah. Dan, Harry Kane. Have we said everything there is to say about Harry Kane, or is this a guy that's getting better.
Well, it was the perfect response to the deadline day hysteria, wasn't it?
Yeah. We'll come on to it. Yeah, no, absolutely.
But without going into it in too much depth now, I think a lot of people... The gripe from a lot of people about deadline day was that Kane isn't going to be able to do it all by himself, but it was just a performance which screamed, I can do it all by myself. Actually, I think you tweeted that during the first half, Son was actually swapping with him quite a bit, and Kane was dropping back, and Son was playing centre forward.
That's Pochettino just...
Yeah, Pochettino just taking the mic a little bit. Just mugging off fans. But it's interesting, because last week we were sitting here with Adam Nathan, and he made a good point that Spurs aren't starting games very quickly. They're tending to keep the ball in the first 20 minutes and kind of feel out the opposition and see where the weak areas they can exploit are. But I felt against Colchester, the strong team against one of the worst teams in the Football League, was really designed to get a really fast start. It didn't quite happen, but Spurs could have been 4 or 5 in the first like 10 minutes. I mean, honestly, it was just chance after chance. Obviously, it was a comfortable win, but against Norwich, it worked, this kind of go for it from the start tactic. We went 1-0 up after 2 minutes, and Pochettino said afterwards, as soon as that goal went in, Spurs dominated the game, and that's what happened. And that's what an early goal can give you. It can give you complete control over a team like Norwich, and Spurs just executed the game plan perfectly after that.
Yeah, it does help obviously to score an early goal, but it looks as if Ali had blazed that over, you know, in the second minute, I still think we probably would have won 2-3-0.
Yeah,
I think we really had him sort of in the palm of our hand.
I think what was really impressive about it is I thought the two halves were quite different in type of performance. I think the first half, we really got at them. We were in their final third a lot more. We were more creative in the first half than we were in the second. And we dominated, and we could have been 4 or 5 up. And then after the interval, they were obviously going to come out quite motivated. Words stinging in their ears, as it were. And we just looked so calm and assured the whole time. It was game management. And Tottenham haven't had game management for a long time. I've never seen a lead and thought, you know what, we're going to be all right here. Mm-hmm. We'll just see this out.
I've been
conditioned now, because we just always do see it out. And we just look so calm. We soaked it up, and then we'd hit them on the counter. We kind of showed them that you're not going to get through us like that. And then we grew into it, and really it could have been 3-4.
Tottenham teams in years gone by might have played the first half like we played the first half last night. There's no, you know, Harry's team might have done that, Yol's team might have done that, but then they would definitely have been conceding a goal right at the start of the second half.
Make it definitely.
Really nervy. But this Tottenham team, well, it just doesn't feel like that's going
to
happen.
Well, I think it's interesting about that as well, when you say about game management, was that it was something that we were struggling to do even at the start of this season. You look at Stoke and Leicester, mm-hmm. and the games where we went ahead and just completely lost control and lost our heads and eventually ended up dropping points. So that's something that we developed from last season, just at the start of this season, and then we started winning. We obviously beat Sunderland and went on this really long run until Newcastle. So it's obviously something that has been addressed and is clearly a Pochettino thing, for lack of a better term. It's a Pochettino, you know, we've had to start learning how to win football matches from losing positions, from difficult away games, difficult home games when they put 11 behind. You know, Sunderland the other week was a perfect example, winning 4-1 against a team that just sat against us at home.
That's an interesting point, because our ruthlessness has kind of evolved and improved as the season's gone on.
Mm.
Because there was a time around, which kind of culminated in the Newcastle defeat, where that unbeaten run was going and it looked like Spurs were going out to not lose. And now it looks like Spurs are going out to... I think there's a case that around about the time we lost to Newcastle, the unbeaten run was really in the players' minds, and they didn't want to lose the game first and foremost.
Mm.
And then as soon as we lost that game and that was over, we won whatever it was, 4 games in a row, or three games in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that there's just more of a ruthlessness now about the Spurs team post that. They're cutting out the draws and they're going for the jugular more.
Mm. I think the argument could also be made that it's not even that they're more ruthless. I just think the whole team has got better, and they're only going to do that playing together. When we beat Manchester City, we were playing Dele Alli and Eric Dier together, you know, a centre back and a teenager from League One. and we dominated that game. But they hadn't played together before. They hadn't played a lot together.
That's just hit
and
home.
We forget those two. They're new to playing with each other this season.
Yeah.
Toby and Vertonghen have played together before, but not for a long time. Ali has never played behind Kane. Eriksen primarily played, you know, as number 10. He's now playing on the left again.
Yeah.
This is a team that are all kind of adapting. They're all taking on new positions. Lamella, for example, is on the pitch nowadays. and what's most frightening and most exciting about this team is not only are they ruthless, not only do they hate losing, not they ever have to do it very often, is that they're just going to get better. They're all so young and they're just playing with each other anew. They're only going to know each other better as players.
Stop it.
As it goes on.
But you've got guys like Chadli coming in as well that they were a fixture in the team last season. Chadli played a lot of games, scored a lot of goals as well last season, but he's by no means on that first 11 now. I don't think he's in our strongest 11. I don't know what you think, Rich.
No, but the strength and depth is remarkable considering where we have been over the last few years. Like you say, we've got the likes of Chadli just waiting there to come in. I mean, even Wimmer coming in now, you wouldn't know that he's not our starting centre-back. He came in and just breezed into the team.
It was terrific, I thought.
And it's those sort of players where before maybe we've had to rely on a bit of youth or a bit of just shite.
Does that count as a swear on the swear part?
I was about to tick off Rich.
No, I think it was
editorially justifiable. So
yeah.
Don't edit it out.
It was a direct quote from someone. So But yeah, it's that being able to bring in the quality we have now is just...
I'm going to bring up the T word. Right.
Which one?
There's many. But I'm going to bring up the T word. And I'm going to ask, because I've been dug out in a playful manner by Jim Stylish Riot for not believing it.
Taini's a great player. We all know Timmy Taini is a great player.
Tremozani, Tirico, you know, we are, and I'm going to have to admit it because mathematically, of course we are. We're 24 games in and we are in a title race. I'm not saying we're going to win it, and somebody put the point across today in a conversation. I think it might have been Dan Rattigan, who said there's a difference between could and will. Mm. We could win the title, of course we could win the title, and then there's we will win the title. And of course, so many of us are going to be in that first camp of course we could. With what, 3 points behind?
Five
points behind Leicester.
Two behind City, who play on Saturday, which is a very big opportunity.
And we've got 2 games time,
and then we play City. So City have got to play Leicester and Spurs,
I can't commit to this title thing. I can't do it. I'm not,
because you're a miserable.
I've had 28 years of thinking, yeah, of course we can, and then we don't. And that can sum up my Spurs.
You've thought about every year for 20 years. That about once previously.
But even in like the 90s, we buy all these like wonderful players, or these people that we think are going to take us to the next level, and then we're still Spurs at the end of the day, so we still finish 10th. That was in the 90s. And then obviously we had the new wave in the 2000s, and we had the youth, that the British youth come through. Martin Jol finishing 5th, still a long way behind 4th. Redknapp came in with this. There's so many cycles that we're going through. This is the most confident I've ever been in a group of players in a cycle. Pochettino is my favourite ever Spurs manager, but I still can't give myself completely 100% over to this title talk. I can't do it. It's not in my nature to be able to do it.
I find it interesting that you say, you know, used to bring in players and think they would take us to that next level, whereas we haven't really brought in any players now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who we expect take us to that next level.
Yeah.
We brought in Alderweireld, who you know, and he would be the one who'd think, okay, he's going to really shore us up. But never did I have the expectation that we'd have a plus 25 goal difference. The best in the league.
Yeah, that's absurd, isn't it?
When we bought Dele Alli, you didn't think, oh, we've got this guy from League One, he's going to be unbelievable. He's going to flick it over his head and volley it in outside the box.
We've got plus 11 on Arsenal, which is basic. They're not going to make up that, probably. So we've probably got an extra point on them. That's huge.
The thing that I was going to say before this is that it's so nice to be excited by these games again. Because it was only a couple of years ago that it was only last season that going away to Man City, I was thinking, oh, for God's sake, just keep it under 6. For God. And we did. We kept it under 4. But even then, I think We lost 4-1, didn't we? And Soldado missed a penalty. Mason missed a sitter. There was a couple. I thought, hold on, we're not that team anymore. We're not going to just turn up and lose 6-0 and concede within 13 seconds. But I love that I'm excited to go away to City and for it to mean something again. And that, if nothing else, is what I love this team and this season for. I'm not going to say that I think we're going to win the title. I still don't think...
Well, let's let someone else who's more positive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it's
I'm a little bit terrified by the thought of us being good. I don't think we will. I'm more worried about Man United behind us than I am about City and Leicester ahead of us.
Are you scarred by seasons past as well?
Probably, because I think we're the same age and we've seen the same rubbish. Yeah.
And the last time we were in this position, it ended horrifically.
Yeah.
You know, with Redknapp in 2012. It was horrific, and that if nothing else should serve as that to me is why I can't.
So, Tom, I already know the answer to this. Yes, Rich, would you take fourth now if offered? would you just accept it? Yes, we're going to finish fourth.
I would. Yes, I would.
Alex.
Absolutely not.
Madness.
I wouldn't either.
Madness.
I think this seems
how
more about
can
it.
You? After all,
I think we're comfortably the third best team in the Premier League. I mean, we're comfortably in the top three. I think there's a case that we're.
Do you still think we're better than Leicester?
Leicester are just.
I'm not saying I disagree, but do you?
I've been saying. Well, I don't want to do that thing where I've been saying for a while, but I have been fucking saying for a while that Leicester are going to go the distance. I really do believe that. They're going to finish.
Did you
top
see that little passage of play they played last night?
That was brilliant. Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I was.
It was astonishing.
Yeah, it's. I couldn't believe it.
Leicester are the real deal, but. Well, the next two games for Leicester will tell you a lot. They've got to play City and Arsenal,
both away as well.
Both away, yeah,
really.
Exactly.
Wow.
So they, if they're coming up out of that with 4 or 6 points, then yes, they are in the title.
So if Leicester lose to City and we go away to City and get anything.
Don't.
I'm coming round to this.
I think. The interesting thing is Dyer did an interview the other week, and he said after Colchester, and he said I genuinely don't know who we're playing in 2 weeks' time. So someone said to him, are you looking far ahead in the fixtures? And he said, I know we've got Norwich, but I genuinely don't know who we're playing after that. I actually don't buy that 100%. I think Eric Dyer does know who we're playing, but I think the whole point of it's almost the sentiment of that statement that's more important. Pochettino's got this team geared up in such a way that they are just focusing on the next opposition. They're winning one game at a time, and then they're moving on almost kind of robotically to the next team.
Yeah.
It's not a kind of Asuka Kotti thing, I don't know who we're playing. It's like you focus on this, don't worry about fatigue, don't worry about 3 days afterwards, get the job done. And I think that's such a good mentality. So I don't think the squad are particularly worried or feeling the pressure, and perhaps we shouldn't as fans. It's easy as fans to do that BBC predictive thing and to look at the fixtures and think about how many wins we need for the top four. We've got Watford. Let's just beat Watford and then think about City.
I'm going to ask another question after, but I think Alex, sorry, do you want to just weigh in on this and what we've just been talking about? I've got one final question I'm going to ask.
I just think when you look at the other teams we've played, or all the other teams in the league, who would you think, if we play them, they are good enough to beat us? We haven't lost by more than one goal. We have, against Arsenal, we absolutely bossed the game, and we've got better since then. Admittedly, we drew the game.
I can't
Arsenal. But we really shouldn't have. And I'm not saying that we're necessarily going to win the league. And I'm not saying that we're, I'm not saying about definitely going to finish in fourth. But if you've got the opportunity to win a title, and you think, oh, would I settle for this? When we might, after all you've seen this year and how happy you are with the club and how much you love the club, and when you've seen us go and be so professional, so an exciting football team, but also a professional one, who will just see the game out calmly, without any worry, without that last minute goal and that flurry, without thinking, oh, we're two behind here, we need to pull it out of the bag. No one has got played Tottenham and come away thinking, we should have had them here. We should have absolutely smashed them. We've been very unlucky.
Yeah,
that hasn't happened. We're good every week. Even the games that we've lost, you know why. You know that's the next game we've played, we've been fantastic.
We have reacted to defeats better than any Spurs side I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge... Mentality is a big thing. The question I was going to ask is very early on in the season when we were doing the early podcast, we were talking about... I think I brought it up, and the reason that I brought it up is because... Do you remember last season when we lost 3-0 to Liverpool? Very early on in the season.
Fourth game or third game.
Yeah, like third game. Yeah. We lost 3-0. It was Rodgers, like Balotelli's first game and all this.
Oh, yeah.
And my friend turned to me and he said, This team, referring to Liverpool, that is a team that is 2 years ahead of us in their project or in their system, whatever you want to put it. Liverpool, in their second year under a manager like Rodgers, that is when they nearly won the title. That is when they got that far. But I feel like so much of that was down to the emotional side of things. Like, when they beat City 3-2 at home, I don't know if you remember,
yeah.
I think that was the anniversary of Hillsborough, so it was very late April, or sort of, like it was in April at some point.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much sort of emotional on it. And what I'm trying to say is that, do you think that we're at the same stage as Liverpool in that we have developed over 18 months with a core group of players that we are building a team around and can win something with, but we have that pragmatic approach of someone like Pochettino and as a club where we're not riding a wave of anything, we are just really just going through games, winning four, drawing one, losing
Liverpool
one.
Had Luis Suarez, that's why they nearly won the title.
But yeah,
that's my view, that without him they wouldn't have been close.
They can
and they had a fit Sturridge as well, which is massively helpful. Spurs have a squad.
Yeah,
Spurs really have a squad at the moment. I mean, I think we were going to come on to this, but you said in the pub before we started that Tom Carroll's already scored as many goals as Eddie Byron.
That's not an official stat, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know. However, I can't think of as many goals.
Fine. Tom Carroll
was
our sixth or seventh choice centre midfielder at the start of the season. Now he's looking like quite a crucial player.
Yeah.
Since deadline day, which we'll come on to, there's every single player, with the exception of Vorm, is in with a chance of starting a league game. Every single player in the squad could start that game against Watford. It's impossible to really... Well, we know who's going to play by and large, but you know, you wouldn't be surprised with anyone.
You wouldn't be disappointed.
Liverpool had the difference to Liverpool is they had one of the best players in the world, probably the best forward in the world, with the exception of Messi. And a fit Sturridge is also a great player.
Spurs have a squad flying as well.
It was good.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I just wanted to ask them. I do feel like there's not a... I think there's a video that Tottenham Spurs official put out on Twitter last night of Pochettino walking over to the fans and started it. And they said, listen to the noise of it.
That's a great video.
And I thought, and I watched it in bed. I was just about to go to sleep. And I looked at it and I was like, this is so good. You know, this is... We've actually got this manager that... People loved Yol and people loved Redknapp at the time. People loved AVB for whatever reasons and they're completely justified in that. But there's a love for this and I don't think it matters where we finish. If we finish in the top four, a huge success this season. A huge, massive achievement this season.
And I'm chuffed for Poch as well because he wasn't maybe everyone's favourite for the job at the beginning and he came under a bit of stick at the beginning saying, oh, maybe we could have done a bit better, he's another AVB, stuff like that. But he's turned the club around and I think he's turned a lot of people's opinions around.
He has absolutely turned us around considering where we were. I almost hated Tottenham. It was a love of, you know, it was like being in a bad relationship that you're just in because you live with them. You know what I mean? It's that sort of thing with Spurs under Sheridan at the end of it and just thinking, this is not where I want to be. And he's turned it around.
I remember under Sherwood when we were 3-0 down against West Brom.
Good days.
We came back to draw 3-3. and I'm celebrating wildly, and then all of a stopping, thinking, why do I care? What about this club, but history aside, what about this current team, these current players, do I love? I feel sorry for Hugo, because I've always got in front of him. Mm. Eriksen is very talented, but I'm not seeing it enough. And I don't like this whole idea of the club. And now, every game matters to me.
Loris, Vertonghen, Rose, Walker, Bentaleb, Chadli, Eriksen, Kane, all played a lot of games under Sherwood. So it is Pochettino that's turned that around. He has got a very similar group of players in name and sort of maybe style, and has turned it into a hell of a team. Mm. You know? We're going to win the title. It's going to happen. So.
Don't do it, Tom.
No. I've done that now. That's it. I've actually said it officially. So now, yeah. Anything else to add on Norwich? We started talking about it and it went very wrong. How good was Bassong?
Oh, he was great.
Agent Bassong. Agent Bassong. Bassong, yeah.
I remember when Bassong played at Spurs. It was one game. I can't remember what game it was. But there was a point it got to where when we were knocking it round the back, they were deliberately bypassing Bassong so he couldn't touch the ball. I can't remember what game it was.
Yeah.
But Bassong, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bassong was our starting centre-back with Dawson the year we got fourth.
Yeah. No. Yes.
But, I mean, King was largely unavailable.
On the first day of the season against Liverpool, Bassong scored on his debut.
Yeah, and then I'd say he played the majority of games.
Scored the goal against Young Boys, the first half goal of the header.
He wasn't bad. He was all
right. He actually turned into a big player for us, but... yeah, terrible. Absolutely awful against us.
We got fourth with Bassong and Dawson playing the majority of games sometimes.
And Asa Okoto and Charlie Chorluka.
Seems.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. You can see why most people love this team a little bit more. we've massively overrun on this. Something that we were going to talk about, well, Dan, you were quite keen to bring up. We all saw... sat in awe of Jamie Vardy beating the brick wall that is Simon Mignolet and Liverpool's defence. I am quite keen to talk about this because I'd quite like to mug off Liverpool a little bit, but people are talking about Jamie Vardy's goal being the goal of the season. It's not. It's a lie.
I thought it was
the best goal of 2016.
Yeah, I thought it was worth bringing up just because I saw endless polls on Twitter today of which goal is best, Ali's or Vardy's. And it seems to be quite a big talking point.
I couldn't have scored Ali's goal. I could have scored Vardy's.
Could you have scored Vardy's?
It's set up for him. You boot it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I could totally have controlled that.
I think there was... Maybe it's my Spurs bias, but I didn't think there was even debate about it. I mean, Vardy volleyed in against a keeper who was about 15 yards off his line.
Which is unlike Mignolet.
Yeah.
that's rare.
Ali... took a touch, flicked it over a defender and volleyed in against a fairly well-positioned keeper. There was no
I don't get the comparison. It's a no-brainer.
The comparison is that they're both good goals. But
seems to be the only thing.
But one is considerably better than the other.
Is Vardy's a volley? I also saw that debate on Twitter quite a lot.
Yeah, that's
right, what do you consider a half volley?
Half volley is when you hit it as it hits the ground,
yeah,
like a drop kick in rugby.
I agree. You totally.
Does it
a volley
once for a half volley?
See, I heard. Yeah.
No.
It's got to be volley's rules. There's where I get.
Yeah.
In rugby, you can score a drop goal, and it's like you kick it basically as it hits the ground or just after.
Yeah.
That's what I consider a half volley.
So do I.
Yeah.
But a volley is, however, if it's off the ground. And you hit, like Vardy's, I consider.
I don't consider Vardy's a volley.
Yeah, that's a volley.
That's a volley because it bounced.
Yeah, but it bounced, but it wasn't an on the up. Like you say, it's that hits
this
the ground.
This is the key
talking
point with the goal as well. Is it or is it not a volley?
Yes. I'm not sure. Yeah. Ali's was a volley because it didn't touch the ground from Kane's foot on the right wing to the back of the net, and obviously he took a couple of touches. I'm not convinced Vardy's was a volley.
See, I'm with Rich. I consider that.
It was a punt.
Yeah.
Forgetting what it was, if Mignolet's on his line, he catches it. Without moving.
If Mignolet's an actual goalkeeper, he gets somewhere near that.
And there's no players in front of him.
5-year deal.
Dele Alli had a player in front of him, a player behind him, and three players in the box, plus a keeper.
He was under pressure, from the minute he took hold of the ball. Who was up against Vardy? Lovren?
Lovren or something.
Yeah, Lovren could have gone and then stopped thinking he's going to run, he's got to run to the byline. So he stopped and then Vardy just hit it.
It was just such a Leicester goal as well.
Yeah.
And hoof the ball forward, hoof it towards goal. And
they are the best Route 1 team I think I've maybe ever
seen. Sam Allardyce is Bolton.
They didn't get near the title.
I think statistically, this Leicester team are a little bit higher.
They had JJ Okocha and Djorkaeff, which gives them extra points.
Djorkaeff, man, that was a great signing.
Ivan Campo.
Hierro played at the back as well, didn't it? Centre back.
Nolan Davies. That was.
I really like that team. I know it was Allardyce managed, but it was.
They
enjoyable.
Used to beat Arsenal a lot, and that's why that was the start of if you rough up Arsenal, they won't beat you. And then Stoke went, all right. Did 5 years of it.
Who was Bolton's left back with the dreadlocks as well?
Ricardo Gardner.
Gardner.
And then it was Simon Charlton. Slight step down. If you're stepping down from Ricardo Gardner, that is a hell of a step down as well. Massively. Is there anything more that you want to add on Norwich or Colchester? Because, you know, we haven't had a pod since Colchester. I don't think there's much to talk about, but it was a fairly second string. It was a strong start, wasn't it? Kane started
at centre half.
Carroll played.
Lamella
hit the post really early on. What an effort.
Really good effort against League One Colchester.
I suppose one of the biggest talking points was Chadley getting two goals and an assist. He's really come back into the fore, and it seemed like a few weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago maybe, that Son was Kane's direct replacement. But now, especially since Son is now in the lead team in the attacking three, it looks like Chadley might spend the rest of the season as the backup striker.
Yeah. Let's move on. Let's talk about deadline day. I think there's been a mixed response to our deadline day, as there always is. But there was supposedly a very black and white need for a striker, a backup striker for Harry Kane. Alex. Guys, everyone, how did you see deadline day? Did you sit glued to a screen somewhere? Or personally, I didn't watch a single minute of it, and it was liberating. It was wonderful. I didn't get to see any of the. Hold on, we've got Dembele. Dembele's actually he's getting into his car. We can't confirm where he's going at the moment, but if he turns left he might be going home. If he goes right he might be going towards North London, towards Spurs. This is who knows.
I didn't think we'd do anything, so I was prepared for that, and I'm kind of alright with it because I trust Poch and co. The outs were arguably expected as well, with Fazio going, Velkovic going. We've got good money for Townsend. I'm content. I'm all right because I think we'll be okay. I think Chadley's up front. Well, he can play up front. Son's up front. We can rotate enough that, God forbid, Kane gets injured. Obviously, we'll miss his goals and what he brings to the team, but we should be okay.
Yeah, Alex.
I think it's difficult. I mean, it's all well and good now, and I trust Pochettino, but it's been really great now when we haven't had the Europa League, and if we are to get past Fiorentina, which would be quite a big ask, seeing as they're the top scorers in their division, in a division that's got Higuain in the form of his life. So I do worry about that, just with us in other competitions. However. Is there a player out there that you'd want? I think it is, just for the sake of. I don't like Berahino's attitude. Admittedly, his manager just digs him out publicly, so I probably wouldn't be very happy either. He's not very clever. He's not fit. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I do. And when Pritchard went, I did think, oh, that would be good. I did, in spite of myself, think, oh, it means there'll be some pressure off Harry. We'll have a player we can bring on for him in the 70th minute when we're 10-0 up. But I would have liked to sign someone, but I think the main thing I took out of it is that people on Twitter subtweet other people on Twitter. Especially Spurs Twitter being like, oh, just because I'm not happy about this, it means I don't support the team, or you should all shut up and give Poch a chance. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, there's nothing that bad at the moment to really get that up in arms about. And I think deadline day was give a couple of people an excuse to really moan about something. Dan, you were kind of on the inside because you were reporting on
not at all.
Well, no, but sorry, what I mean by that is you were obviously reporting on our.
I rang the club a few times today. Yeah, that's what you mean. I think the expectation from Spurs was that nothing was going to happen. I think from Spurs' perspective, it's been quite clear cut in the last two windows. In the summer, they wanted Berahino, and they couldn't get it done. And with hindsight, I think Jeremy Pease's actions in January almost absolved Tottenham of blame for failing to get Berahino, because if he's seriously rejecting 24 million for a sub who's overweight and he's got 18 months on his contract and apparently got attitude problems, then he's not selling for anything.
Does that make it more personal for you then?
Well, it wasn't personal because the 24 million came from Newcastle.
Against Berahino rather than against
Tottenham. I think the West Brom chairman had made the decision that he wasn't being sold this season, and which kind of, as I said, absolves Tottenham of any blame from the summer. I think Spurs went for him, they tried their best. I don't really buy the stuff about Levy being a terrible negotiator. I think the Son deal and other deals show that Levy can get the job done if he wants to get it done, and can be very discreet about it. And then I think in January Spurs wanted to sign Dembele and they weren't really interested in Berahino, and again the club tried hard to get him, but Fulham just weren't prepared to let him go immediately because they got a transfer embargo and because they might get relegated from the Championship, which will cost them a lot of money and be a major blow to a once Premier League club. So I think I can understand the frustration, and a lot of people were frustrated, even though the majority I think took it very well, because it's all about Kane being fit. I think exhaustion isn't a problem because we can play Chadli, we can play Son, but if Kane isn't fit to start, if he's injured, I wouldn't want to play either of them from the start in a big game.
I think, sorry, I know there's something that I put out on deadline day was that I think Chadli has scored as many goals in the last 18 months as any of our targets.
He's scored 20 goals in the last 18 months because he scored 14 last season. He's got 6 this year.
And admittedly from a very different position, but he's quite clearly capable of performing the position of goal scorer in a team, isn't he? He's able to score goals, and it's not ideal, but I would rather have him, who's had 18 months under Pochettino, than someone brand new. If it was Berahino, what are we expecting from Berahino? What exactly, if Kane was to be out for a week with a bit of a strain in something, what are you expecting from Berahino that you maybe wouldn't get from Son or Chadli, who have proved themselves to be Premier League players?
You mentioned Chadli, and I mean, his goals at Colchester sort of prove that he can play both sides with his shot from range and also his header, which was really smart. But just to touch back on about getting another striker, I don't know who would necessarily want to come to Spurs knowing you're going to sit behind Harry Kane in the pecking order. You're not going to get a lot of time. So I don't know which striker out there would sort of fit the mould of happy to play second fiddle, sit on the bench and come in and then do a job knowing that no matter how well he plays, he's still going to be behind Kane next week, and Kane's going to get the start.
I'd also suggest that context is very important here. Let's look at other clubs and look at their first choice and then who they can bring on. So Aguero, Man City, world class. If Aguero doesn't play, they bring on Bonny, who's never really done a job for them. Arsenal,
a totally different player as
well. Exactly. It doesn't fit the style. And then you've got Giroud, and then you bring on a different player completely at Arsenal. Walcott, who's not amazing. And then you've got Leicester, if Vardy doesn't play, they've got, is it Ojoa? I think we've probably got better options. I'm pretty sure Chadley's got more goals than Walcott in the past 18 months.
Is anyone talking about if Vardy gets injured, Leicester are screwed? I haven't heard that at all.
No, they didn't look like they had a lot in the cup when they didn't play Vardy with Ochoa and Okazaki.
Yeah.
I can understand the frustration though, because In a way, it feels similar to 2012 when you feel like Spurs have entered the new year in a position where the title is not unrealistic, despite what Tom may think. And people want to believe that Levy wants to win the title and that Pochettino wants to win the title. And they want to believe that 20, 30 million quid should be spent on another striker to support Kane in the event that he gets injured, or just to give Spurs a different option, you know, in games where we're struggling to break someone down. I'm largely okay with it. I think the whole January transfer window is basically one massive myth. It doesn't really exist. Yeah. I mean, it's,
do you know what it's
riding, incredible listening to Sky Sports and going to. Even going to Hotspur Way and listening to the media ask Pochettino questions, he will never talk about transfers, but Sky Sports asked him about signings every single week of January and they mentioned names and he just shakes his head. The whole thing is a kind of...
They're living off the Arshavin transfer. Do you remember Arshavin going to Arsenal when it was the... It was so funny because... delayed by him not being able to get in the country because there was snow. And it was this big drama that Sky could make 2 hours out of, which you know they're going to do. And they made this huge thing out of it. And then every year since then, it's, well, what's going to happen this year? It's like, well, no snow, so nothing. You know, it's so strange. And they massive...
I feel like a few years ago...
But that was summer. Summer's better than the winter window.
Teams were much more inclined to do stuff.
But they've definitely built a narrative around Levy because of the Van der Vaart deal. Because Sahar and Nelson is quite an unremarkable transfer window, which we have touched on before. But I think that had more... sort of emphasis and a little bit more prevalence, is that the right word, because of Van der Vaart happening on the final day of the transfer window. It was Levy strikes again kind of, and the whole car window with Harry and all this, and the whole sort of wheeler and dealer, nah, fuck off, I'm not a wheeler dealer, and he walks off. We made it a theatre, and it's become a bit bizarre. But let's move on to the outgoings. We had 4 major outgoings. Townsend happened quite a bit before the end of the transfer window. He's gone to Newcastle for 12 million, is that right?
Yeah.
We've pretty much talked about every single podcast, I think. I think, actually, we probably even spoke about it when Alex, you were on, which was a good couple of months ago. I think by then Townsend was maybe already...
He played his last game in October against Anderlecht, and he was completely frozen out after the Villa game, which was mid-November.
Yeah, and I think that was... Yeah, I think, Alex, you were on past there. So it's a bit, we've talked about it for a while. You know, all of us have had our say on Townsend. But and he did it in a classy way, and he did live tweet his exit, which I was not...
the only thing I'll say, I've said it already, is glad he did that stint in the under-21s, and I watched one game on TV and one game live, and he really, for want of a better phrase, he really gave a shit. Like, he tried hard. He wasn't just going through the motions. He wanted to be fit. He wanted to be ready to play for his new club. And I'm glad he went out. I'm glad his last act in a Tottenham shirt or for Tottenham wasn't that kind of stupid spat with the fitness coach, because I don't think that's Townsend. I think Townsend is a good professional. I think he's a guy who just wants to play football, and ultimately he wasn't really good enough for Spurs. We didn't fit with Pochettino, and I hope he does well at Newcastle. They don't need any extra help against Spurs, but
last day of the season.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Last day of the season, away to Newcastle.
Actually, but provided they're safe, they never give a fuck. On the last day of the season, they normally play Arsenal.
It is, yeah, that's very true.
Just lose,
but Townsend, there is a chance that Townsend
there's a chance. But with that game, with the exception of that game and any future games against Spurs, I hope he does really well, because I do think he's a good professional.
I have nothing against him. I just don't think he's very good.
No, it's sad to see him go, because he has been a good servant. I hate that phrase, but he has been a good servant.
Yeah, with a good high ceiling.
Oh, shut up.
The rich Arrowsmith high ceiling.
But no, I wish him all the best. It's a shame it didn't quite pan out how he hoped. But I think
it's not much more, is there? There's nothing more that any of us can say. We're not lamenting a career gone wrong or anything. It's just simply it hasn't worked out.
I put him in my fantasy team because I think he'll be all right.
We also lost Fazio, Velkovic and Pritchard. Fazio went to Seville on loan. Velkovic went to Bremen, is that right?
Yeah.
Werder Bremen, and Pritchard went to West Brom on loan, which is an interesting one. I don't know if you guys have got anything you want to add on Fazio and Velkovic, but I certainly think Pritchard is worth bringing up. So it's this Premier League loan for somebody that was obviously in the Championship last season, but he's 24, isn't he? And he's only just signed a new deal. He was injured for a while. Okay, 24.
Yeah.
Just signed a new deal, was injured for the first half of the season. Do you see logic in it? Like, what's your opinion on that?
Where is he going to come in the team in that position? He can play on either wing or as a number 10. Is he going to come in for Son, Lamella, Chadli, Ali? Dembele can play there. Is he going to get in ahead of any of them? I wouldn't have thought so. He's not played in the Premier League either, unless I'm mistaken. So it probably makes sense for him to go to a Premier League team, get some Premier League experience, and also in a side that maybe don't retain possession as well as Tottenham do. He's not been playing with us regularly, hasn't got the same experience of playing with this team and the style that Poch wants. And if he goes there, he'll get experience in Premier League. And also, his chances will be more important there because he's going to have less of them. He's going to be kicked a lot. He's going to be in games where they're defending and it's going to make him work really hard. He was a relatively good team in the Championship when he was at Brentford. West Brom aren't a relatively good team in the Premier League. They're not going to be beating most teams in front of them. I think it will really help him, and I think he's going to get kicked a lot. And we saw him score a lot of free kicks. If you're on Spurs TV, he's always scoring free kicks in training or for the under-21s. And there's loads of compilations of him scoring them and scoring from range in the Championship. I hope it's a Andros at QPR type scenario where he scores lots of goals and then comes back as a messiah, but I think it's a good move.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then joins Newcastle.
We sell Pritchard for 12 million.
Beats up a fitness coach.
Beats up. That's how the press works. That has spiralled into. Go on.
I was just going to say, I don't disagree with anything Alex said. I think it's a shame. I think it's such a shame for Pritchard that he got injured because he was so good at Brentford last year that the England senior coaching staff were watching him and earmarked him as a kind of future international, maybe one for Euro 2016. And I think that this year was really his season, his big break, his chance. And it was such a shame that he got that ankle injury.
Yeah,
I do feel for him a lot. It hasn't worked out the way he would have wanted. And if you look at what he did in the Championship, it was... I know this is such a rough comparison, but it was more than what Ali did in League One. So there's no reason that why under Pochettino he couldn't have come into the team and been similarly important to Spurs had he been fit.
And so if he comes back at the end of this loan, Premiership minutes under his belt, 24 years
old,
he's got to prove himself, then we could have
Having said that, if he plays at West Brom, it will be good for him because he'll get experience of this league. And he'll come back in pre-season, which is always better to join up at the start of pre-season than joining up kind of midway through a team that's established and doing well. Mm. So I think hopefully it's going to be really good for him. I just hope Pulis actually uses him.
That's the big concern.
If he's getting 5 or 10 minutes at the end of games, then there's a case that, you know, if Onuma's getting that for Spurs in the league, which he is, there's a case that Pritchard could have got that at Spurs, so he really needs to be starting games and playing 90 minutes.
I don't know who they've got in those positions where he'll play, but even if it is Corbin out at the end of the game, I think he'll have a good time just whipping balls onto Rondon's head, really.
Rondon looks a player,
A big target as well, he's big head, so he'll be alright, I think.
Yeah, you know, 6 months, it's a level that he's actually never played at before, so maybe the best 6 months, the best thing we can do for him for 6 months. Okay, we haven't got any listener questions this week because we are useless. So we didn't actually go out from today. Sorry.
No.
If you had a burning question, then please feel free to send it to us. We won't answer it, but just fill your boots. Let's talk about Watford. We've got Watford on Saturday. Bit of a grudge match, actually, because they really did not like us when we went to Vicarage Road. From memory, I think there was an Ali tackle that was very early on that a couple of people said that was horrendous, and not from our side, obviously, but a couple of Watford fans were really, really, really indignant about it. Aki got sent off, and then we scored a ridiculous last minute with offside back heel from Gomez.
That was
a huge result for us as well at the time. I think again we'd just beaten Norwich 3-0 if I remember rightly, so I'd certainly take another 2-1 at that at home to Watford on Saturday. So Rich, what do you think?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Poch goes free at the back again like he did against Watford away.
That's a good point. Yeah,
so
we haven't really got the personnel now there, have we? If the tongue is injured, do you think?
Well, unless Dyer slots in again between
Vimmer. Oh, of course. I forgot that it was Dyer. I was thinking it was Vimmer. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But at the same time, Kiko Sanchez Flores, that's his name.
Yeah, he is. That's okay. Bang on.
He might mix it up, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
They're not quite where they were at the time we played them. They were beating Liverpool. I think they'd beaten Liverpool 3-0 at home, and they were being sort of
love Liverpool.
So Klopp.
So average.
They were being, I mean, they're quite comfortable in mid table. I think they're 10th or so, but they're not quite where they were. They're not riding any sort of crest of a wave now. They've been perhaps slapped down where they maybe belong, let's say. They're certainly not calamitous, and I think they're safe this season. But home game against a mid-table team, this is what top four / contenders go and win, isn't it? So what are you expecting, Alex?
Well, firstly, I mean, it's a grudge match, if only because it's the two best-looking managers in the league.
Do you think Pochettino's good-looking, fella?
Pochettino's gorgeous.
He looks like a fat baby.
I don't think he's unattractive, but
AVB was a chiseled man. That was a... I prefer bearded Poch to clean-shaven Poch, but I don't think he's a good-looking fella. Not necessarily.
I'm trying to think of another
one. I think from certain angles, he is very good-looking. Sometimes he... Yeah.
I think he's...
It's all about the selfies he takes. Like, he's much better in those than he is in real life, is what you're saying.
What's that picture of him? So, it was circulating when we first got Pochettino, of him with... He's in like an American bar, and there's two women that are right next to him, kind of bent over, and he's not like doing the whole sort of like the gangster. He's just a bit like a bit laddie, and it's so not in keeping with Pochettino. I'll find it. I'll send it to you.
I've not seen that.
It's so not in keeping with what Pochettino seems to be about, and it's just sort of like Pochettino after dark. I love it. It's
have
really
you not
stupid.
Seen any of the? The old school Pochettino pics, like the ones where he's got long hair at PSG.
At PSG,
like,
yeah.
He's a good looking guy.
I do agree there. I think he definitely got on the donuts after he retired a little bit.
I think he's in good shape.
As all players do. They pile it on because they're not training every day.
It's outrageous.
I don't think he's I put him above me in any league table, obviously, but I don't think he's an especially. Like when people talk about Chadley,
who's
don't understand.
Who's your best looking manager in the Premier League?
Good question, Dan.
The big question.
Don't pretend like you don't already know.
I really don't. And I'm really struggling to be.
Before.
No, Chico. Chico Flores is a good looking fella.
It's Kike, isn't it?
Kike.
Chico.
Tom calls him Chico. That's what he's in his phone.
Wasn't Chico on X Factor? Wasn't he the really crap?
Oh, yeah,
Chico time.
I think it might have been. I'm not sure.
That's so British of me as well. Oh, Chico Flores. Yeah. Kiki Flores. Good looking fella.
I'm not digging up a list of Premier League managers.
I know what.
Rich is searching for Premier League managers.
Mancini was a dish, wasn't he?
With the scarf.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't really see it with.
Is it not that Poch is kind of cute normally, and it's also quite passionate and fiery?
I like the fire, and I like the humour as well. I think you get a lot of humour out of Poch. You get a good date out of Poch, but like if you're talking about smouldering, good-looking fella, I don't think he's quite as up there.
better looking than Harry Redknapp.
But can you get who's better looking? Like, we've already got Flores, but who else would you say?
AVB
was
a better.
Yeah, but
better
as a current manager now in the Premier League, and AVB looked a bit too much like slighty.
Do you know what? Can I? Nah, Martinez looks like. Martinez's face looks like it should be on the front of a Thomas the Tank Engine character. If you just take his face as it is, remove the hair. He's a fraud as well, isn't he, Martinez? Can I just say,
the hair's going. You won't have to wait too long for that.
Yeah, that's fair. Moon face. We've gone on. I reckon we've gone into this in more detail than any listener question could have possibly done. We came onto this organically, so
should have sent this in next week.
Yeah. Oh, people have long turned off, I imagine. I don't know is the answer, but it is a meeting of two good-looking fellas.
Mm. Yeah.
Like every podcast we have.
And that is about all I can say about. Oh, yes,
yeah, I have no idea. Right. It's still Deeney and Ighalo, I suppose.
Gomez is still about, is he?
Gomez is still about. I hope he concedes four.
They've
got, like, Gomez.
Pantilla Martin. Now, I don't know who's number one out of those two now.
Oh, it'd still be Gomez, which says a lot about Pantilla.
You can't win away from home so comprehensively. And make the fans believe in a way that I think that result really has, and then go and lose at home. I know we would do that.
Brilliant.
When we were
cheers, Alex.
Previously. No, but I mean, no, I'm not saying that we won't. I mean, typically we would. We'd have a fantastic result, then we'd lose to Burnley. We'd have a fantastic result, we'd lose 1-0 to Fulham at home. It's a 1-0 to West Brom at home, it's a 1-0 to Fulham at home. These are the results and the margins that have lost us top four previously. And so it's all very well and good having a heroic performance away and being, you know, professional. It's whether we can unpick a team at home. But they play 4-4-2. They'll come and have a go because that's what Watford do. And I think it should suit us. And I think we should be fine.
I think also, I know.
Yeah, good point.
The collapse.
Good point.
I think
yeah,
also,
excellent point, Alex.
I know that Pochettino is all. He says almost every week when he's asked about the opposition that he focuses on Spurs. He doesn't care about the opposition. We play our game. It's all about us, etc. But I think this is a week where the fact that Man City are playing Leicester is so significant, because whatever happens in that game, we're making up ground.
It's beneficial.
We're making up ground in either both or one of them with a win.
Yeah.
So win against Watford and whatever happens in that early kickoff, the Spurs are in a better position than they were.
Yeah.
Before the match, so it does feel like a big game, and we play City afterwards, and so in the context of things, keeping that momentum going for a potential title decider,
yeah,
at the Etihad,
I'm so happy to be excited about these games again. I don't approach these with dread, and we might lose 4-1, 3-0 again.
We won't.
But that's it. I go into that thinking actually we won't. Whereas last year and the season before, I thought, this is, if we keep it under 3, we've been lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so happy to be excited about it. And if nothing else, that's what we've got back as a fan base. The excitement of going into these big games and thinking, you know what? It's not just we could win. It's like, you know what? We are capable of rolling you over here and you shouldn't take us lightly. So, yeah. This is exciting, yeah. Anything else to add on Watford, guys? No. We don't know anything about any other team, do we?
No.
Caputo is good. Gomez actually makes some really good saves. He's a good shot stopper. They've lost quite a few games recently, and then they ended their slump. I think they lost like 4 or 5 in a row, and then they won the next two.
Right, mate. Are you all right?
We're
not on Watford podcast.
Yeah, we're just getting out of this. Oh, Chico Flores.
All I mean is other clubs have turned them over, and then they haven't responded well. And then this happened again and again and again.
What was their last result? Did they play last night? Are they playing tonight? I know they're playing tonight and they get one day less rest. Someone said it last night. Which doesn't happen very often to us.
One day fewer.
Fewer, sorry. You're a big advocate of fewer, aren't you? Because you corrected Spurs official the other day, didn't you? Someone did with a fewer. It really made me laugh because it was just massively unnecessary. But right, okay, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you very much. Sorry we couldn't do any listening questions, but 1 week out of 52.
Sorry, not sorry.
Alex Brown, thank you very much for coming down again. If we lose this weekend, don't worry, we will have you on again, but maybe not in a massive game. If there's a huge game, we'll call you.
But they're all huge when you're in the title race.
Absolutely.
Oh, I can't do it. I can't process it. Rich Arrowsmith, thank you very much again for coming down. No, it's two in 2 weeks. Hey, you're the Kevin Vimmer of of the podcast at the moment. Dan, nice to see you.
And you, mate.
Thanks. Thank you very much for joining us. Join us next week. We'll do a Watford review and a
City preview,
which could be massive. Come on, you Spurs!